Hi, it's Paul Predecker and Mike Morgan. This is Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio. And our next guest is Kurt Castagna, Eagle co-chair. And Mike, if you would do a little bit of intro, and we'll get this started.
Sure. We're going to spend some time talking about getting the lead out, which is a favorite topic every year. Really, I think maybe too many years, one might say. We've been looking at this a long time. When we finally do get the lead out of aviation fuel, you know, it's going to be because of successes on many fronts, not just research and development, but, gosh, testing and certification and manufacturing and supply chain and information and adoption. And what's going to be happening is that Eagle, the organization that Kurt represents, being a joint initiative of government and industry, is going to be sitting in a really interesting place to watch all this happen and to make some of it happen. Kurt, welcome to EAA Radio. How are we doing? How far along the path are we?
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here representing the industry, representing NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, and really also speaking to you as a pilot and an aircraft owner myself with an interest in this for my own personal interest. So, you know, as you mentioned, it's a complicated process, and we've been at this now since 2012, 2014 at the latest. And industry is aligned at this point. Industry has been aligned for a number of years that we need to get the lead out of the fuel, and we're committed to that. The issue today and the goal today is really a safe transition to a lead-free fuel by the end of 2030 without disrupting the industry or compromising safety or the reliability of the piston fleet. And, you know, I want to emphasize 2030 is a goal. We have set that mark, and we're walking in time with FAA and their testing process. And it's a complicated testing process. And, you know, at this point, if we want to hope to meet the 2030 deadline, but more importantly, we're set on the safety of the transition than the time itself.
I would imagine that you've got two things to do here. One is the technical aspects, but then you've also... You've got a huge education process to follow, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think there's the technical aspects, which I would say, you know, we have three candidate fuels in the testing process, two through STC, Supplemental Type Certificate, and one through the PAFI program that's the FAA's federally funded program. Mm-hmm. You know, the focus in those two areas are really solving for the detonation, of which lead is the component to assist in detonation. And at the same time, we're trying to solve for materials compatibility. And you know, the FAA's approval of the fuel is in the airplane, in the wing of the airplane, and that's their focus. But industry's focus goes all the way back to the refiner, through the supply chain, into the fuel, into the airport, and before it even gets to the wing, the compatibility of that fuel. And then, as you noted, yeah, it's an education process. It's also a distribution and supply chain issue of how do we do that and evolve this fuel into a marketplace throughout the lower 48. And I mentioned 2030 is the goal line for the lower 48. In FAA reauthorization in 2024, they provided for Alaska to have additional time, two additional years, because of the complexities of the Alaska market.
Are there regional differences across the U.S. in terms of acceptance and progress, or not?
Great question. I think we definitely are seeing areas in the country where I would call them they're more environmentally sensitive to the lead and removing the lead from the fuel, and then we're seeing areas in the country that don't have that sensitivity. And so the political pressure on this environmental sensitive areas is causing early adopters. And so, you know, we've seen quite a bit of early adopters in California where they've looked for the current three fuels to do demonstrations, to enter use those fuels into the marketplace, Colorado being another one that successfully has done it. And those market demonstrations have provided great feedback to the Eagle, to the FAA testing process, that it's allowed us to get more data to see how that fuel is going to interact. As you can imagine, one of the biggest things we're trying to protect besides the piston fleet is the national airspace system, is that you know, the big question is can we afford to have multiple fuels in the marketplace? And the issue with that is if those fuels are not compatible with each other, and imagine having sure. multiple fuels that aren't compatible to each other, and then aircraft owners going from state to state or airport to airport where they might not be able to secure that fuel, that's a large concern. And, you know, it leads me to what our issue, our biggest focus today, right now, and we talked about this and over the last few days here at AirVenture, but we will continue to talk about over the next year, is the compatibility testing that the FAA is now doing to test the fuels against each other, the candidate fuels. So prior to getting the STC and in the PAFI process, the fuel testing was that candidate fuel against 100 low lead. And now it's testing those fuels and the compatibility with each other in the wing of the airplane and whether or not they're going to be compatible or not. And how do we get closer to 100% of the piston fleet? There's 233,000 piston aircraft that we're addressing.
And I suppose, in addition to the number of aircraft, when you say compatible fuels, you're talking about more than one.
So there again, yeah. three compatible fuels that are three potential fuel developers that are in the testing process. Again, GAMI and Swift through the STC process, and VP Racing Lindell through the PAFI process. The new news this week is that, you know, Chris DaCosta with his Swift Fuels announced a few days before AirVenture that the FAA successfully approved the AML list, the engine and airframe list, for 12 to 1600 aircraft to add the UL-94 fleet to the 100R, the new 100R fuel. And so now you will have the 100R aircraft, or the 94 mm-hmm. aircraft that were burning it, now burning the 100R fuel. And so that's a big step. The other thing he's announced is the testing that's continuing on the seven high-performance engines that are going to be dependent today on the leaded fuel for their detonation issues.
Yeah, Mike, I know you have some questions here.
Yeah, Kurt, I'm kind of wondering if we, meaning the industry, particularly the producers, are looking forward to a time where it doesn't matter which of these alternative fuels is in the tank or in the pipeline or in the truck, that they'll be so compatible that it doesn't matter which one is in the flow at any particular time, and we don't have that problem of going to airports that happen not to have the one alternative fuel that you're looking for.
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is that, you know, you'll hear the words drop-in replacement quite a bit, mm-hmm. and there is no drop-in replacement for 100 low lead. Again, the two fuels, Lindell fuel and the Swift fuel, are an ether-based fuel product. And the GAMI fuel is a product that uses aromatic amines, two different chemical sure. chemistries. Whether or not they're compatible or not, again, they're trying to solve for detonation, and then they're trying to solve for materials compatibility. And on one hand, I think, you know, the GAMI fuel has been certified an STC for all of the piston fleet except currently working on helicopters. And they've done demonstration flights out in California with the GAMI fuel. And there's been, you know, lots of discussions on material compatibility issues. And then you have the Swift fuel that's out in the marketplace today that's proved itself to be very, very effective and doesn't have the materials compatibility issue, but it's trying to solve for the high detonation, high performance engines. And so the likelihood of having a drop-in replacement fuel, there is no drop-in replacement fuel. We're going to have to solve for the detonation issues in certain engines.
You're talking with Kurt Castagna, who's the co-chairman of the EAGLE Joint Initiative, guiding government and industry to a place where we have gotten the lead out of our aviation fuel.
And, Kurt, where can people find more information about this? Are you on the field here?
On the field here. Certainly happy to meet with anybody while we're here at AirVenture. I think that flyeagle.org is our website. I would really encourage the members here and the people here at the AirVenture to use that website to get the most up-to-date information. I would say this is, you know, again, 2030 is our milestone. Our hope is then within the next 12 months when we come back to AirVenture, we have a lot more news on seeing more fuels, more compatible airframes and engines next year.
Well, you have an amazing task in front of you to bring all of this together between the fuel and the manufacturers, the engines, and also just making sure you're satisfying the original need, which was, you know, get the lead out and deal with the environmental part of it. So I'm imagining you have a lot of moving pieces here.
Yeah, and I think there's some other, besides the fuel, alternative fuels themselves, then you're seeing new technologies, right? You're seeing new engine companies that are looking for, whether it be turbine or diesel, jet fuel run piston aircraft, to look for alternative engine sources.
So, I hope when we come back here next year that you'll have, you know, some more information and some updates. And where are you on the field, Kurt?
So we're mobile. We're not in any one booth or one location, but, you know, happy to be a resource to anybody that wants to meet. We can meet at the EAA, any of the EAA locations.
Very good.
That's Kurt Castagna, who's the co-chair of the Eagle, a joint initiative looking at removing lead from fuel and having us all still stay in the air once it's done. Thanks, Kurt.
Kurt, we appreciate all you're doing, and enjoy the rest of the week, okay?
Appreciate being here. Thank you very much.
This is Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio.